welcome back to Freight Waves. Now we're here at the roundtable today on this Thursday, and I feel like we've talked about yellow to the point where it's like been beaten to the ground. But we had new developments these last 2 weeks, right? They have now officially sold about 28 different deals of their terminals. They're now rolling assets still up for sale. And so we're going to discuss a little bit about what this means for the market with Zach Strickland, with Tony Mulvey. So guys, let's dig right into it. I think the big question that is being posed today in this roundtable is, what does this mean, the sale of their terminals, mean in a market that still has too much capacity? But I think that's kind of the irrelevant question, right? Because it's terminals, you've got other LTL companies who are adding dock doors and really looking to increase their efficiency. What are your thoughts on this, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like it's somewhat irrelevant in the context of we've got too much capacity, abundance of it, et cetera. Terminals are more like cross docking, staging, you know, a lot of warehousing functions, logistics functions there that aren't necessarily part of that situation. Now, I think the big takeaway, though, for me is that the LTL space has been quite divergent from the truckload space since the summer. And we can see that in our data specifically. Yep. We've seen rates kind of bounce off the floor. So the LTL space is more challenged because of a yellow's exit. I mean, they were the number three provider in the United States, national provider, I should say. And it's, you know, time's going to tell whether or not this is going to be a fundamental difference maker or not. I still think that it matters to an extent, but it's not like this huge like development. I think once all of the business gets absorbed into these networks, Estes and Saia and everybody else and RXO, some of the big winners in this deal, I think we're going to see the LTL market follow the truckload market at that point. Now, the terminal aspect of this, it's a side note to me.
So XPO was the biggest winner here. I believe it was 20 different terminals that they acquired, over $870 million. And as we mentioned in headlines today, CEO Mario Harik saying that this is going to add between about 10 to 15% total to their network. And it's something that I think was fascinating because it's not all just adding dock doors. It's also moving strategic locations for XPO in some really key markets. Tony, from that perspective, what type of upper hand does this give a company like XPO, who's willing to spend that $870 million for 28 terminals versus one like Saia or like ArcBest, who only bought three or four?
Well, I think the big strategic advantage, I mean, it gives you you're putting yourself in front of or in places where your customers are moving freight. And I think the LTL space is a little different. And Zach, I mean, you lived in it, right? Like the networks already operate with excess capacity in it to kind of absorb like ebbs and flows that LTL faces. Like there's slack in their network by design. It runs differently than a truckload model. And like from a capacity, when we talk about the market, like we look at the truckload perspective, right? And we look at the new authorities. LTL is a very different beast, right? It is capital intensive because you have to have these strategic dock doors and things. And I think placing it, the question is going to come down to more pricing than it is in the future than it is like where they have these docks. And for XPO, like they're still in this, I don't say growth phase, but they are when you think about they've spun out to focus solely on LTL, where that wasn't necessarily, it was a focus, but it wasn't.
I think the important thing to know about how LTL networks work is they have hub and spokes.
Yeah.
And if RXO or XPO bought these and, you know, put them in strategic growth areas, that makes a difference. Because if we're talking about what they try to do idealistically is get their hubs or their spokes within 50 miles of the delivery. So if this supplements their network significantly, then that makes them a more efficient handler of the freight, but it also exposes them to Yellow's customers.
Who
should have been, and this is not known, but who should have been within a certain radius of their existing network. So that makes them a better candidate to handle Yellow's business.
Yeah. The question is going to be, can they, when they go into conversations with the customer base, right? It's Yellow was, and I don't think this is any secret, right? They were the low cost carrier, LTL carrier in the space. Can you get the prices when you go in to reprice that freight effectively? Like, is it going, it's likely going to be repriced higher. And how do you keep those customers now that you've effectively put yourself in front of with these strategic ideas?
Right.
Can you take this pricing power and effectively withstand, okay, there's 1,000 loads out of this terminal, right? And we're going to reprice it 10, 12% higher than what it was. Can you be, is it okay if you don't win all 1,000 loads that were there?
And most of these LTL providers have terminals all on top of each other.
Oh, yeah. Right? That, I mean, go look at a network map. Yeah.
Yeah. XPO and Estes have terminals right next to each other. Old Dominion. They're all kind of in the same areas of the country. So I don't know how this new network overlay actually works.
Yeah.
Now, it could be that they have a smaller dock facility in some of these areas that they're going to transition into a larger facility, and that makes them more capable. But again, that's, you know, I think the selling point to the customers is that, hey, look, we just got Yellow's framework. That makes us better able to service you.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're not going to charge them the old rates because they're out of business.
Yep.
Exactly. So on that pricing note, I think that's really a really good point to bring up, because one of the big notable names that was missing from the winners in this auction was Old Dominion, right? And you mentioned that it's impossible for a low-cost carrier like Yellow to have its freight moved into a different carrier's network and continue that same low-cost pricing model. It's probably one of the reasons why they ended up going out of business was the low-cost pricing model to begin with. But Old Dominion's name was missing. And we know from now, what, their 3 to 4 straight years of really stellar operating ratio and delivering on these financial performances, they've straight up said, we will not sacrifice price for the quality of service that we are delivering. Old Dominion's customers know they're going to pay a pretty penny. They're going to get really, really good service. Do you think that's maybe one of the reasons why we see them not on a list of the people that were vying for these assets, for these terminals? Because they know it works.
Yeah.
They're not going to shy away from it.
Old Dominion has a very disciplined model, and they're known in the space for giving the best service. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like they're the high-end service provider. Mm-hmm. So customers know that, and they're willing to pay a premium for it. So they never are held captive to the same level of market conditions as the rest of the space is, because everyone else is kind of, you know, thought of, at least perception wise, as being a lower tier of service provider. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's true or not in current terms, I don't know. I haven't seen service figures in a minute, but it is the perception. And I think that's also, you know, if once you start talking about these terminals being placed strategically, Old Dominion's network
is pretty mature, right? It's built out, right?
Like,
you don't need to add to something that's working.
Yeah.
In this instance, right? I mean, you're talking what, ORs?
Especially if they're able to, because they were already going through real estate expansion during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, they already made several $100 million investments in new areas. So that budget may have already been spent.
Yeah.
So then this leads us, of course, into the rolling assets, your trucks and your trailers that are still out there, still have not been put up for auction yet. Who gets those? Who wants them? Who needs them? And is there a place we know, of course, again, on that low cost carrier, are the assets worth it at this point?
They're worth more. I mean, this goes into a whole Yellow thing. I mean, it's worth more dead than alive. I mean, the real estate being clearly the big one, but I mean, the assets themselves are worth something. It's just a matter of who's going to invest, like, to do this, to end up parking the trucks, right? Like that, I mean, we're hearing, this comes from truckload carriers too. Like, you're hearing stories about them like they don't have as much equipment on the road. Like, why would you take on and go buy these that are, I don't say older, but I mean, they're likely not, I mean, maintenance
they're
is the
like
first,
prime.
Maintenance is one of those first expenses that kind of gets cut. So they may not be the perfect, in perfect condition to go and to go purchase.
They're not like prime in the replacement cycle.
Exactly. So it's like, why go and spend this money? Hence why you go to auction and you hope you get a cheap price for it. But
these are also
day cabs, right? They're not going to be, they can't be absorbed by an over the road carrier necessarily either. So it's like it's already in, I don't say niche, but it's, you're taking your wide net that, say, like a sleeper cab would have, and you're condensing it down by having day cabs.
And your audience there.
That, and then the trailer side, right? You're talking about what, 20 footers, like the pup trailers, as opposed to 53 foot dry vans, right? You're narrowing that net that can be cast. So I don't know who buys them, but it's definitely a smaller audience than if it was, say, a larger.
Well, it's an LTL carrier. It's somebody in the LTL space, more than likely, and it's going to be somebody that's looking to expand because they're getting new business.
Yeah.
And right now the LTL market is buffered because of Yellow's exit to cost reductions. So they think about the truckload carriers coming out of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
They had this extensive balance sheet full of cash.
Yeah.
The LTL carriers were just starting to see that erosion heading into the summer months when this happened. They're much more pricing disciplined because the market's less fragmented and all that. So it does cost them a lot more to operate these networks too, but it feels like they probably do have some room there to spend on this.
The one I would be interested to see is if Knight-Swift makes a play at some of this, right? They've they've been active in the LTL space trying to grow it because it gives them this ability to cross-sell across their entire company. It would be interesting to see if this is like, hey, we might be able to get or grow in the LTL space for...
Well, they did work a few of the terminals, I think.
Yeah.
Like two or three.
Yeah. But again, buy assets, right? Yeah. And kind of bring them into that network and grow it for a fraction of what it would have cost to go out and either make an acquisition or go and buy the equipment.
Yeah, and their network is not as complete, obviously.
Exactly.
So that's a great point, because when you're talking about LTL, you need to buy a space.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to organically go into a market or a region and just all of a sudden be there.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time you have to like buy a hub and spoke that's already in existence.
Yep.
And then that happened. This is a perfect point for a non-national LTL carrier
to go
to
national,
start growing their network out.
Yep.
But then that begs the question, do they have the driver workforce to do that for them? And that's a topic for a different roundtable.
Well, I was going to say, at least LTL, that aspect,
it's a lot easier to staff.
Yeah. Because you're home, right? Yeah,
they're home daily.
Yep.
It's easier for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, thank you for that. I think that was a great roundtable. And I guess we'll get to see what happens with the actual rolling assets of Yellow. Right now, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.